Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Susie Ward, who I guess needs little introduction. She's well known through her monthly message that she sends out from Matthew, her son, who is now in the higher realms. So I'm looking forward to a very interesting program. Are you there, Susie?
I am. Hello, Mike.
Hello there. Nice to hear you. You're loud and clear. Now we're together on the same line. You wanted to start the program off, I believe, by talking about one of my messages, which relates somewhat to Matthew's or vice versa. Are you prepared and ready to do that?
I am. I'm actually getting a feedback of my voice, so I hope that's not going out over the air.
I don't hear it at my end, so perhaps it's peculiar to your end.
Okay, good. I'll handle it. Well, you know, Mike, when I read Diane's message, her 26th message,
yes.
You know, I always smile as I read the messages you receive, because there's, I really welcome confirmation of the things that Matthew has been telling me for so long. And one of the... there were a few points here that I wanted to mention, because I think they're so important for us to know. And one of them is that it does seem to us as if the changes that we've been told about and that we've been looking forward to for so long, you know, this transition out of the third density, it seems that it's moving so slowly, but it's really not. There is so much going on behind the scenes, not just what some people know, say the dark ones, in quotes, about their own agenda, but what they don't even know about what is going on in the universe that is assisting us in what is really, in terms of history, a swift transition out of any remaining darkness and into what we call the Golden Age. And so I just want to mention that I think sometimes we become impatient and feelings of helplessness or hopelessness may enter in. And so these messages from our various sources keep encouraging us, you know, stay steadfast in the light. Things are really moving. So I just wanted to make that point. And then also where she says that Earth is going to be restored to its original pristine condition, another area where Matthew has said, and also that there is no free ride. We need to prepare for this. Earth's ascension and her steady pace, that's a certainty. But it really is up to each individual soul here whether we go along on that journey. And the kinds of messages that you and I are receiving and distributing are part of the guidance to prepare us all to go along.
Indeed,
I thank you for letting me start out with that.
Well,
and
delightful.
Now I turn it over to you, Mike.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I agree with what you've said, and quite rightly so. There are a number of sources that talk of very similar things, maybe worded differently, but I think there's a general agreement with what stage we're in. And it brings me very nicely, really, to Matthew's last message of March the 23rd, which I wanted to just discuss one or two points with you. because, as you recall, he started that one with asking us to imagine our Earth as he sees it, and he gave a lovely description of how it looks, and then he was talking about, I believe, the new Earth, and then he went on to say, this is your golden age world, that it already exists in the reality of the continuity. The world that you are co-creating in this moment is illusory linear time. So he sort of put that one in its place.
Yeah, he rather does.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, I don't think this is the time to, as you might say, mince words, really, is it? We've got to get to the heart of things. And he went on to say that the frequencies now prevailing are raising consciousness on a global scale, which confirms again something we get from various sources, which really, to me, confirms that we've already won this battle with the dark. I'm sure you would agree on that one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the way my perception of this is that we are going through the motions now of co-creating what already does exist in the continuum, where there is no sense of the linear time that we have, and that we all are involved in this process in one way or the other.
Absolutely, yes. He went on to say also that those same frequencies are presenting physical anomalies and emotional peaks and valleys. And he was saying that if we understand that, it can lessen the anxious moments that we get about these unusual symptoms. And he was saying quite correctly that people ought to take time from their busy days to try and reach, as he describes it, the sacred space within, meditation, soul-searching, prayer, or whatever. And again, that's obviously excellent advice. Because when you look on the outside, there is a lot of stress and pressure, isn't there?
Oh, there is. There absolutely is. And one effect of these higher frequencies is that what we call time, but actually it is the energy, the energy layer that Earth has reached, there is less time for us to do the same things that we still need to get done. And formerly, it seemed that we did have enough time, and
yes.
Now it seems as if we don't. So that is another source of stress that we're dealing with. And they
yes.
do know that.
Yes.
They do. They're the highly evolved... The spiritually highly evolved beings are extremely compassionate and understanding. And, well, you know, those are feelings that are in love, so simply said.
Yeah.
They love us.
Absolutely. Yes, what I did like about Matthew's message is he went on to follow up this question of how you get over your stress by advising that one turn their thoughts of anxiety about adversity to gratitude for blessings. And I love the suggestion that we listen to melodic music, because I must admit, even when I'm working and I mean writing or on the computer, I invariably have some nice music around me, and I find it very restful and peaceful. I don't know what you do when you're doing your work.
I don't have music when I'm working. Not because it would be distracting, but everything is packed, Mike, is what it boils down to.
Yes.
But we have classical music station on our radio, I think that the symphonies and the concertos that of the old masters, not the more recent ones that are dissonant,
yes.
but the the melodic soothing and uplifting. I mean, it's powerful, and that's why it has that effect. But it also, there have been experiments using music with plants, and the plants that have that kind of music really thrive under the very same conditions, except for music, that identical types of plants do not thrive. People who are convalescing, there have been studies done about the classical type of music, how it aids in convalescence.
Some years ago, we had an instance in England where at one of the prisons, they played the prisoners music from Mozart. And what they actually found was that it had a very restful effect on them, and they were actually much more at ease and cooperative and so forth. And I have read in spiritual messages that there is something within Mozart's music that is particularly effective for that reason. I don't know whether you knew which music you were referring to when you said like the older masters.
Well, definitely Mozart.
Yeah.
I am aware that in all this trial and error of what type of music produces thriving or flourishing effects. Mozart's name is always at the top of the list. People who know anything about his life know that he was inspired. He wrote as it came through to him. I don't mean he didn't make any changes in it, but it literally was filtered to him through the tones that Matthew referred to as music of the spheres, the angelic music of the spheres, and that is really what was being filtered through to Mozart. I mean, he just said, you know, I just write what I hear. But Matthew has expressed it that way.
Yes, indeed, yes. I have read something to that effect, and I believe Mozart actually said himself that the music came streaming into his head. It would almost seem he didn't have to really think too much about it. So that rather confirms the point, I think. Just moving on a bit in Matthew's last message, he's very topical, and I know he intended this message to be more, as you might say, down to earth. And he was talking about health disorders and how you could combat them. And I thought it was very nice to read that, apart from anything else, he recommended that people explore combinations of natural ingredients, which he said may be very effective in reinforcing immune systems and strengthening energy levels. And he was very careful to make sure that if people were in doubt that they should consult their doctor. But I think it's nice to promote the idea of natural treatments, because I don't know about in your country, but in England there has been a little bit of a campaign from the medical profession to try and put a damper on natural treatments like homeopathy and things like that, and, you know, even going down to herbal treatments, to be quite honest. So I don't know if you experienced that in the States.
Oh, yes. Yes. I think that's probably a global condition. And it really goes to the collusion of the top of the pharmaceutical companies. It's based in greed, Mike. And it starts with the pharmaceutical companies, and then the collusion comes in with the FDA, and then I certainly don't mean to malign individual physicians. Some of them are brilliant and helpful and conscientious and very humane. But like any cross-section of the population. There are those who are very self-serving, who have investments in pharmaceutical companies or receive monetary and other types of incentives from the pharmaceutical companies to promote their drugs.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, that's all part of the lingering darkness here that little by little is going to be done away with. And when I say little by little, I mean it's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be incrementally over the next couple of years.
Yes, yes. Matthew went on to talk about, of course, a very topical subject right now, which is the United States economy. And I can well see, in accordance with his comments, that, as he said, to establish a new system of banking and commerce based in integrity, it is essential that the Illuminati control be eliminated, which, of course, to a large extent, comes from the banking families themselves. But I did note that he said it had to be eliminated before a new system of banking, etc., could be established. And I wonder, really, how long that will take or what type of occurrence would lead to them sort of losing their power, unless it is, of course, the financial collapse itself. Have you got any thoughts on that one?
Well, as he mentioned, they really have brought it on themselves out of the greed that inspired them, I guess, or motivated them to charge usurious rates for loans, to come up with the idea of credit cards and promote them. And their idea was, if you combine that with all the advertising that is aimed toward, you need a new car, you need new clothes, you need to spend this way and that way. And I don't mean to sound, paranoid about this, but it is all part of a dark global network that continually adds to the immense fortunes that just a comparative handful of our population have been able to garner through those, in some cases illegal, in other cases just downright immoral, measures that the rest of us have been stuck with.
Yeah,
well, their system is now becoming unstuck, and it is collapsing.
Yeah.
So, and as Matthew mentioned, and I'm sure he's not the only one, of the high sources that has been passing on this information, the collapse of the economic structure that affects us globally, because the stock markets are manipulated, everything is, everything is, that has to go away. Just like tyrannical and corrupt government leaders have to go away, so that new leaders who have both the wisdom and the spiritual integrity to step in into the void to replace. To institute new standards. The old has to leave before the new can come in. And this is what we are seeing.
Matthew went on to talk of the importance of the transformation process, and he was talking in terms of what you were saying there, that the people in office holding influential positions would have to be moved out, voted out, or whatever. And if they didn't, their bodies would eventually die as the Earth moves into still higher frequencies, because obviously their own would not hold up in them. And he was saying that physical survival is impossible without the cellular changes that light enables. So that will be an interesting period. But something that I guess would surprise some people is the fact that Matthew said eventually the fact will come forth that some publicly seen leaders are clones. Now, he wouldn't be the first one to mention that, but I find this a difficult subject to get into because not very much is said about it. Do you know any more than that statement?
Well, a little bit. Well, I know that cloning of humans went on long before Dolly, the sheep, was cloned.
Oh, yes, our Dolly, that is, isn't it?
But that was, when Dolly was cloned, that was my first awareness that there even was cloning.
Right.
And so I asked Matthew about it.
Yeah.
And so he made a few statements like, oh, it has been going on Earth quite a bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, this has happened well before Dolly, and humans have been cloned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe because he's my son, I felt, oh, come on, you know.
Yeah.
Matthew, you know, how do you know this is true? Type thing. So what he did at that point was turn me over to a delightful young man named Hugo, who has, and this is a chapter in, oh boy, well, one of the books, either Revelations, I think, or Illuminations, and Hugo explained the process of human cloning from the very beginning of it and taking it all the way through to how a clone of an adult, you know, the aging process and all that, and that these cloned bodies are prepared and available pretty much wherever the influential people would be, or wherever they're living, wherever they would be traveling frequently, so that they're always available.
Yeah.
And then the downloading of the individual's brain into the clone, it's just like our brain is a computer. So the process is just like downloading the hard drive of the computer onto something else. And so that is done so that the full knowledge of what has been going on is transferred to the clone.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing from clone to clone to clone, because we have not perfected the art of cloning. And so the bodies deteriorate fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
But at any rate, cloning has been going on for, I don't have any idea how long, in other civilizations. And the purpose of it is that if a person in an influential position dies of a natural reason, a heart attack, an aneurysm, you know, something like that suddenly, or if they are assassinated, that is covered up. And maybe after a couple of days, depending on the circumstances, after a couple of days of, say, treatment by a doctor or what have you, we see the person looking hale and hearty. That is the clone. And the power of that position, the continuity of it, is the purpose of having the clone.
I think something like that has actually been noticed without people perhaps thinking of cloning, where they have seen a sick leader one day And then the next day, one who's apparently totally recovered.
Yes, yes. And I can remember that before that I knew anything about cloning, I would notice that in TV newscasts and think, boy, he must have gotten a good night's sleep or, you know, some logical thing. But it was very noticeable.
Oh, yes, I think so. Now, I think I've got this right, so confirm if you know otherwise, that when they clone people, they will have a consciousness, but the one thing they are surely lacking is a soul.
Okay, the clones do lack a soul. However,
yes,
the body life force is its own entity. And so if a soul chooses not to enter, that body just operates with the same amount of intelligence and mannerisms and speech as the person had, because all of that is downloaded from the brain.
Yes.
However, a clone may enter. A soul may enter a clone.
Yes.
And it would take a very strong soul, a very highly evolved soul, to turn the thinking and actions of the clone away from the darkness and into the light.
Yes.
And my understanding is that actually has been done, but by and large, the souls who come in, the pressure from the darkness that is within the brain or the psyche of the clone is more powerful.
Yes. I have read over a recent period of time, more than once, that some people are of the belief that George Bush Jr. has been cloned several times. But there you are. If that is so, the question that often passes through my mind is, I wonder how they know. But anyway, unless you've got a comment on that, I'll move on to Matthew's next comment, which was a very welcome one. And that was regarding the U.S. military troops in Iraq, which he said will be withdrawn in increments, and I underline this, after the U.S. presidential election. Now, that just sets slightly a time scale, doesn't it, for what might happen? Because if it happens after, it rather reads that we could go into early next year before that gets underway. What is your thinking about that?
Well, I can only go by what Matthew said.
Yeah.
And I would like to mention this, that any time he mentions things that will be transpiring in what we call our future, that information is based on what he can observe happening in Earth's energy field potential. And, of course, that is part of the continuum, so it's very difficult to determine exact dates. And that's why he doesn't ever give exact dates. But what they see happening is the U.S. presidential election preceding the U.S. troop withdrawal.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's a safe assumption. I do know the problem with assumptions, but based on that, I would say that we probably can expect no troop withdrawal. Now, I'm not talking about tours being up in rotation. I'm not talking about that. Matthew wasn't either, which is why I'm not. But I'm talking about actual a drawdown of occupation troops.
Well, yes, he did say after having started off those comments with the bit I repeated, he spoke of something in terms of within a very few years, saying that all the occupation troops worldwide would be back in their native country. So he's allowing for quite some time for the whole thing to take effect. But when he talks about this happening after the presidential election, would your thoughts follow the same path as me in thinking that there must be a more liberal president than what we have, one who would be in favour of making moves to end the war? So I suspect that rather looks as though Obama would get in and become president.
Well, you know, Matthew has not committed himself on that.
No.
The only person he says who... Okay, what he has stated is that between now and the November elections, is that a great deal of truth that... the truth is known in some areas, but definitely it is not public knowledge about just how extensive the corruption is. I'm not speaking of the corruption that we associate, say, with corporations, but the corruption in basic nature. The kinds of intentions that the candidates have. And so the only one that he has said will not be elected is Hillary Clinton. And,
yeah.
Mike, if I may have just about 30 seconds, like to mention, because you brought up Bush clones.
Yeah.
Yes, there have been many, many Bush clones. And the reason is, by the time the cells were taken from Bush, which was not until after he was in elected office, his body had already been so abused with alcohol and other drugs that it was definitely not in optimum condition.
Yes.
Consequently, the first clone, and the clones are weaker than the original because we haven't perfected the art of it.
Yes.
So their cellular structure is weaker. Because successive clones are also weaker than their predecessors,
yes.
He deteriorates at this point, the clones that we see, and we see only clones publicly for the reason that I mentioned. So they have to be replaced frequently. So I did just want to answer that. And now,
right.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
That's fine. I'm glad you added that bit to what you said. That's fine on that subject. You went on to answer some questions which you, or rather Matthew went on to answer some questions that you put to him, and the first one was someone who wanted to know exactly what the soul is, and I thought it was very precise and short and sweet, because Matthew said the soul is the very essence of life as it first sprang from the Creator. I don't think you can really say much more than that to give an answer. He went on to talk about each individual lifetime of a soul is its personage, and he was talking then about the cumulative soul. Now, I guess not a lot of people have thought about that, but he mentioned something which I understand is a continuation as you go up through each higher dimension, where soul groups come together, and I believe they actually get bigger and bigger as they go along. Would you agree with that?
Yes. If you have ever heard the expression soul cluster, those are the souls who work out the karma over several lifetimes. They frequently reincarnate at the same time, and but in all different roles. You know, I'm Matthew's mother in this lifetime. In another lifetime, he may have been my teacher.
Yes.
And you know, I benefited from his instructions. But we play all of the various roles and relationships so that we can get balanced experiencing. Matthew has explained the importance of achieving balance. And since Earth is basically a schoolhouse for balancing emotionally, since our emotions are what drive our activities and our beliefs and our thoughts and what have you, it's understandable that if we experienced something with a soul now in this lifetime, but we didn't complete it, that we would want another opportunity to work out the issues that were unresolved. And so that's the purpose of the multiple lifetimes that really are happening simultaneously in the continuum. But since at this density of Earth, our comprehension, our comprehension simply isn't great enough to relate to the continuum. And so we have linear time of past, present, and future. And in those terms, the series of multiple lifetimes has to be explained as reincarnation.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if I mentioned that clearly enough.
Oh, I think that's great. And if people want to learn more about the cumulative soul, possibly some might not have read Matthew's latest message. He does go on to give quite a detailed and extensive reply to one of your later questions. So it's simply a matter of getting a copy of the last message. Now,
Mike, may I mention that it is posted on MatthewBooks.com.
Right, yes. Okay,
I mean, all of the messages are posted there.
Yes, great. Okay, yes, that's fine. I was going to get you to mention your website details anyway, but that's a very appropriate time to bring it in. It's amazing what we can get out of one of Matthew's letters. Now, coming to my last comments, and that's regarding the ego, because someone through you asked Matthew, where does the ego fit into the individual soul that you call the personage? Now, I think a lot of people possibly don't understand what part the ego plays in their life, and Matthew clarified what it is, and he called it a sense of self. But it is not, and I think this was a good point, it is not the same as being egotistical. It's quite right to, say, honour yourself in the sense of one's self-identity. So I thought that was a very good point to bring in. And then he did go on to say how the dark side can also attach itself to the ego. I guess what happens is it becomes part of you, and you actually believe that the ego is yourself and that you can't escape from it. Would you like to add a few comments on that?
Okay, Mike. Yes, Matthew is mentioning there, or the point he wants to make is that a sense of self-identity is essential to us. But often, and that's what the ego is, but often the derivations of the word, like egotistical and egocentric, and overshadow that. Now, because the ego is the part of the soul that is this personage that we know we are, that is where the darkness needs to infiltrate. And it does that through the psyche, and the cracks in the psyche come from fear, vanity, greed, prejudice. You get the picture. The things that we think of as perhaps negative characteristics or situations that we do not want, such as fear. Illness, that sort of thing. Okay, those create minute cracks in the psyche, and the darkness enters there. And once in there, the person who, say, lied one time or stole one minor thing, it's almost as if that type of nature becomes pleasing to them, a sense of satisfaction or such. And that is how the darkness enters the personages. Yes.
Right. That's fine. Okay. We're having such a good time here chatting away. The time is moving on like mad. We haven't reached the end of my 55 minutes. Hello, we've got a companion I can hear on your end.
Yes, they heard something.
The four-legged one.
They have been lying quietly at my feet.
Oh.
They always do when I'm in here.
They know you're getting near the end. Now, I had let you know that I did want to speak about one of the people that you had contact with, which was included in the book Illuminations for a New Era, and I think the name is probably pronounced Aishels or Aishels, who was an extraterrestrial, a light being whose home planet was Catalon, which he said was very near Sirius. And I think you had conversations with him over 3 years or 4 years, from 2000 to 2003, because he was called to contribute to the book to put over how their civilization was saved from destruction, because he said their past was very much like ours, and they were saved from destruction from the wars they were engaged in. Now, what I think very interesting section of the book, something that people I feel are generally interested in, was the image that he presented of himself to the seekers of light of the universe, and he was seen with wings. Now, he said that he was presented as sort of flowing and shimmering raiment and large wings of feathers, all in white with a golden glow. But he made the point that the wings are not do not represent an angelic status. And he actually said that angels do not have wings. And he said the wings, which seems to make some sense here, are symbolic of soaring beyond beliefs and philosophies not based on the truth, but based on separation. So I thought that was interesting, because most people, I would guess, if you ask them to draw an angel, would draw one with wings.
Well,
I don't know
yes, the old masters' paintings depicted angels with wings, but actually that was not the first time that I had heard that angels do not have wings.
Right.
I think it was Matthew who first told me that, and God has mentioned it. You know, when Matthew tells me something that I think, oh dear, because it is so different from anything that I have ever learned.
Yes.
I sometimes check with God and say, you know, God, is Matthew right? And what he tells me over and over is, Susie, trust your son.
Yeah. So, anyone who reads
I think that's correct.
Anybody who reads your books would know that you do allow yourself to question what you're given, and that's correct, of course.
Aeschylus pronounces his... that is the way he pronounced his name to me.
Oh, say it again.
And you were Aeschylus.
Aeschylus, right.
Yes. But as he explained about both Aeschylus and Catalan, is that those are only the phonetic sounds or phonetic spellings of the closest sounds in English to the actual language of his civilization. So, he said, you may wonder why I'm speaking to you in English. He said, we study it. The way Aeschylus described his civilization is that of all of the, a dozen or so representatives of civilizations more advanced from ours, his civilization is the one that is most similar in many respects. But the reason that he was asked by the Council of Nirvana to make a presentation is what you mentioned, that their history was so similar to ours, that they, as he said, it was almost a parallel of your own.
Right.
Because they started as highly spiritual beings, actually their planet, like ours, was populated on down the line by highly evolved beings from civilizations elsewhere. And according to him, this that their beginning was about 7 million years ago in our time calculations.
Yeah.
And they started off preserving their spiritual awareness and living based on the godly principles. But down through the millions of years, the darkness emerged in individuals who wanted to control the others, and eventually it reached the stage of such brutality and negativity that the civilization had reached the point of self-annihilation about 50,000 years ago. That is really the point where we had reached with all the weaponry that has been developed, with the mentality, with the war mentality that is so pervasive. And as he said, a few souls who were born into his civilization, they were not of it, but they were born into it. Meaning that they came from the higher civilizations where love and peace and harmony exist. But they agreed to be born into his civilization as messengers from God. And that some of the people paid attention to them, and then more and more others paid attention to them. So 50,000 years ago, they reversed their self-destructive course, now are at high fourth density and moving into fifth density.
Certainly a lot of that does parallel the stage that we're in. Now, we haven't got too many minutes left, but I will mention a couple of points that were also in that particular chapter. I nearly said I was pleased to read these two as confirmation, but when I bear in mind it was quite a few years ago when the information was given, maybe he might have been amongst the first to mention it. But one was to say that it is promised to seekers of the light in this time of the transitioning energy fields throughout the universe that all will achieve that level of light essence if they wish. And he also confirmed something I think that we have heard for quite a long time now, that although we are at the point of near annihilation, it has been decreed that nuclear destruction will never again take place in our universe, and God will see that it is followed. So I thought that was excellent. Now, Susie, we haven't got many minutes left. Would you like to advertise anything on your website, your books or whatever? Take a minute or two to tell us what you have.
Well, yes, the books are described there, the four Matthew books. The last one was published in 2003, in December, and that is when I was told, God said, no more books for now, but expand your site and make a section for Matthew's messages. So by now, the messages, which continue where the last book left off, there are about 70 or so of those messages on MatthewBooks.com.
Right.
And they really are extremely enlightening, encouraging, uplifting, and a lot of guidance to help us on our journey with Earth, just as the messages you receive are, except Matthew tends to be more talkative.
Right, that's lovely. Now, I think I'll have to say goodbye to you at this point because I need the last minute just to tell our listeners who I've got coming on next Friday. But thank you for being with me again. That was an excellent chat with you, and I think I could have taken up another hour with the little notes of questions I would have liked to have asked you about that particular book, Illuminations for a New Era. But that is a terrifically interesting book. So thank you very much for coming in.
You are welcome. Thank you. Invite me again, Mike.
Well, we'll undoubtedly get together again, I feel. Perhaps next time we can ask you what you're doing. But just a quickie, are you still moving?
Well, we haven't sold our home yet.
All right. Okay, well, that's it then. You're still in that
But we still have plans to move when we do sell.
Okay, right. Well, thanks a lot again, Susie. Thank you very much for being on. It was extremely enjoyable. And for my listeners, I'll quickly say that next Friday I have Michelle Morovey, who is an intuitive healer. She's a writer, teacher, and founder of Spirituality Inside and Out. She's certified in Reiki and Pranic Healing, certified Meta Practitioner of Neuro-Linguistic Programming, a Master Timeline Therapist, and Master Hypnotherapist. You couldn't add much more to that. So she's written a book called 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body and Soul. So I hope you'll be with me. I shall circulate a little bit more information when I send out confirmation through my emails. Thank you for being with me. God bless you all.